Hey guys.
It is the boss man. It's your boy. The auteur of the show, if you will. I don't think JT and Malcolm would be too pleased to hear that comment. Let me get my levels ready here. So I'm recording a little monologue here because, frankly, we are very busy right now, and I want to keep with the schedule of the show. And this is almost like an emergency backup plan kind of thing. Break in case of emergency. And if we're able to record the right amount of episodes in the next couple weeks, this will just kind of be tacked on to the end of one. And if not, this is just a special little solo episode for the patrons. But regardless, I had some stuff I wanted to talk to you guys about, you know? I haven't really talked to you one-on-one in a while. Some of you I have, but not a lot of you. If you don't know, my career, my real job, my TV production, set decoration, and props job is done. I've been not doing that since I moved to Philadelphia. I'm still talking to some independent filmmakers who I'd like to work with in that capacity, but as a career, that's done. And if you didn't know, right now, other than Patreon, the way I earn my bread is working at a movie theater. Yeah, I know. It's I've been made fun of for it on other podcasts, weirdly. Jokingly, you know. But it's what I have to do right now. And it sucks, but it's also kind of fun. And I wanted to talk about someone I have come across at this art house movie theater that I work at. This guy, I mean, I can't say his name because you'll be able to find him. Maybe I'll say his name because maybe he wants the promotion. He identifies himself as an ex-film critic, all right? And he comes in like probably 3-4 times a week, makes sure he sees like everything we show. We have like 5 screens and we're usually showing 4 or 5 movies in the, let's say light art house realm, like the stuff that'll be like either AMC Artisan Films or in Los Angeles, the Lemley would get it, you know? It's the kind of stuff a lot of cities, you're not going to get to see that at the multiplex, so I should be grateful. But coming from Los Angeles, you know, the land of cinema, I am turning my nose up at the repertory selection and art house selection in the city, despite me working at the best art house in the city. Regardless, so this guy comes in, you know, all the time, sees everything. And every time he sits out and waits for people to come out, and he's just like, "Did you like the movie? What did you think about it in comparison to other movies that you've seen recently? And what else has inspired you recently in terms of movies?" And so this guy's accent is really hard to pin down because he has that kind of like Paul Schrader garbling to him, you know? It's hard to say if he has like a Midwestern accent or a New York accent or a Philly accent. It turns out, so, you know, as I said, he identifies as an ex-film critic. And for some reason, for the last, like, 20 years, my theater has just been, like, letting him in for free. So this is this dude's life, you know? He just comes to the movies for free and talks to young people as they leave as if he's, you know, doing testing for a studio. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, too. But it's just such a strange thing because he also then always transitions to asking if they want free tickets to performances in the city. And he just always has like a grocery bag full of flyers that seem like they also work as free tickets to theatrical engagements throughout the city, whether they're like ballet or, instrumental recitals or dramatic performances. And he also is really heavy on pushing people to get on his email list to get all of these things. So it made me realize that his personal economy is no longer free movie tickets. Or if it ever was, you know, that was just like his baseline of sustenance for us cinephiles, his way of eating, quote unquote, for free every day. But now I realize he has to have something going crazy with these free ticket scams, because I say scam because nobody's ever taken him up on this, right? Like, there's people who have followed up on the emails and stuff, but from my light investigation that I've done so far, asking my coworkers and some other people he's talked to, like regulars at the theater who are more used to him than I am, no one's followed through and no one's gone to any of these events that are real. You know, they're all, you could look them up. And then I just looked him up by name, right? I was like, I gotta see what this guy's fucking deal is. Also, his his email listing is prosbyenterlastnamehere@gmail.com, and I thought that was a very good one. I'm gonna go prosbyavril@gmail.com for my new writing email. But anyway, so I keep looking into this guy, and he has multiple sites listing him as a former Philadelphia film critic. And then I see, like, he's also just currently being published in this Milwaukee Alt Weekly. And I don't know how many alt weeklies there are in Milwaukee. And I don't even know if it is an alt weekly or just like a major blog, but that'll probably give you detectives out there some leeway for figuring this guy's identity out. But it's so weird. Like, I just feel like he's running this giant scam with all the theaters in Philadelphia, where he seemingly has unlimited free tickets to all of these events. And I don't know where he's, you know, coming with the ins or the outs of the money for that. And so I dug a little deeper, and then I see, like, after a few pages of his film criticism, it's like, City of Philadelphia versus this guy, court transcriptions. I'm like, all right, this is going to be the rest of my night. I'm going to be ignoring every customer that fucking comes in and just look at my phone. And luckily, you know, we're holding over all the Oscar shit, so it's like no one's really rolling out for Zone of Interest. I'm not still at this point, you know, so I'm not getting big crowds to deal with. I can just read a book, or better yet, do this online investigation, right? So someone apparently dropped a dime on him like 10 years ago for this, and it was just like an anonymous source has, you know, sent in proof of undeclared income for this guy. And really, it was like, because of that, the state took away whatever benefits they were giving him, whether unemployment or disability or whatever. And then he was suing the city to get that money back. And he lost. He did not win the case. And I just think that the story of Mr. Blank here is just like, he's a true, like, protagonist of a really, really weird movie. Like, if Todd Solondz made a crime film that didn't involve pedophilia, I feel like it would be a story akin to this guy. Another thing about the theater is that I get to go to movies for free. I get to see anything I want for free. It's pretty cool. The other location of our little, you know, art house nonprofit thing, they've been showing some good rep stuff lately, you know, and I haven't been able to make out too much of it, but I've also been just like doing the after hours screenings. We got those DCPs. Shh, don't tell my boss. We got those DCPs. We could run them whenever we want. We watched Roadhouse the other night. That was fucking sick. We did Cruising. Amazing. But then I did roll out to the location that has like the mainstream fair to see Dune. Cinematic event of the year. Dune 2. I gotta say, it kind of made something click for me that sci-fi and fantasy and all that shit is just not my bag whatsoever. And there's a lot of quote-unquote accomplished filmmaking going on in this, but just my eyes glaze over at all of the lore. And I know there's exceptions to the rules. We've talked about the prequels on this podcast, and some of my other favorite, like, auteurs have dipped their toes into the geek genres, if you will. And I think Lucas is just such an interesting figure because I fucking hate American Graffiti too, but I love the prequels. And so that's just a weird contradiction in my own taste. But there's something about, like, I just don't want to go there. Like, I don't want to go to that planet and hang out with those people and fucking look at the weird costumes for that long. It's weird because it's like installation art, because I can really appreciate the production design and the costumes and whatnot, but it's like I'm walking through a room seeing those for 5 seconds, and I appreciate them just as much as if I'm in the theater watching Dune for 5 seconds, but then I have to watch Dune for 3 more hours. I mean, I guess it's 2.5 hours. It's not the longest movie in the world. And I remember liking the first one, and I ran it back on HBO Max, and honestly, it could not hold my attention whatsoever. And I chalked it up to just, like, me being in a mood that day or whatever, you know? It's like, sometimes you just can't focus on a movie, right? But also, I kept thinking about it, and I was like, I really hate the action in the first one. Like, the only thing I really, really like in the first one is that sense of weirdly atmospheric exposition. Like, Villeneuve knows he has to just dump a bunch of exposition on us, and so he does it in a very hashtag aesthetic way, which is like something I don't like in theory, but him and his collaborators have gotten so good at reining in his audiovisual style and making it something very pleasant to watch on an IMAX screen. But it's like, yeah, he's just an IMAX merchant, I guess, because I tried watching it back on HBO Max in scope, and it was fucking horrible. It was like, there's nothing atmospheric about these images. And I think having to be locked in a big screen theater to really get, like, the sound design and the images and all that, like, I get it for certain movies that I love too, like David Lynch, but also I can watch David Lynch at home, and it doesn't make it worse. It's just better when you're in a big screen in a theater, locked in, you know. So there's something to say about that for Villeneuve as like a showman, a theatrical showman, you know, and I guess people really like that. But to me, IMAX is, I'm very much over it at this point. You know, there's a couple screens where you can see it look really good, but it really is just like the most obvious form of decadence before the fall of the empire. The fact that the only types of filmmakers getting to, you know, really express their vision with a decent budget doing what they want are the ones who do giant IMAX things. And like, even Paul Thomas Anderson's next movie is going to be an IMAX. And it makes me think of like the Hollywood on the Thames thing in the 60s. You know, they're making these big epics in Europe, and it's like Hollywood is just fucking dying on the vine, and they're trying all they can to compete with all the other modes, and it's just not going to work. So Dune, I was mainly trying to talk about, you know, sci-fi and fantasy being kind of zone out mode for me, but I went into an IMAX rant. But regardless, I just like there's something lacking in, I hate to say relatability because I fucking hate that, but you know, everything has to be a metaphor in sci-fi and fantasy, and I kind of like metaphors as secondary things rather than the actual text. I also think I liked Dune 1 because I had this like new lease on life mindset when I watched it. I was living with JT at the time, like, and we were like 2 minutes away from the Burbank 16. You know, I mean, it's fucking, no one we know lives there anymore. So if you guys want to do the extended clip tour, go to Van Owen and Irvine, head down Irvine a little opposite way from the dispensary, like 3-4 houses. You're going to see where JT and I lived for about a year, recording about 100 episodes of the show. So we would go to the AMC, and I was just like, having this second, third, maybe fourth wind of trying to like new movies again, and like writing about new releases for maybe to get paid, you know? And so I was like, okay, this is going to be sick. I'm going to like this. You know, I rewatched Sicario and actually found it decently pleasant. And I still think Sicario is like a good movie to watch at home. Like, it's a 3-star, you know, thriller, very dumb script, But yeah, I just had this like new lease on life where I was like, I'm free from what I was doing before. I'm working in the studios now, and I'm going to be able to become a film critic. Like, I can do what I want, and I'm just going to be nice. And yeah, so I watched Dune, and I took what I liked from Dune and kind of made it into the whole thing of what I my review, I guess. And I don't even think I have a review up on Letterboxd anymore, but I was really trying to run positively with it, and I realized it's like the thing's just not for me. People start talking about Dune after, and I was like, yeah, I liked it. I love the parts where the ships landed, and like it, the like, noises were really loud. And they were like, yeah, but what about like the battle for Arrakis and like the you know, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know which planet that is. Even the prequels, I love Star Wars. I don't know which planet is, you know, by name. People start talking about the names, the planets in Star Wars, that loses me. I remember images, I remember scope compositions, and I remember sound effects, you know, and I remember dramatic shapes. What else was there? There was something else there. Oh yeah, so also another thing that I've had to deal with lately, the movie theaters. Advanced screenings. Do you guys ever do this? You ever sign up at gofobo.com or get recruited by email and targeted ads to, like, you know, go see a new movie for free before it comes out? And it's just studio testing. It's been around, you know, since the classic era. Studios will show a movie to an audience before it comes out, get the reactions, apply the notes, you know, or just try to get like reactions for word of mouth hype. You know, that's the new wave of it, is the word of mouth screenings. And so we host a lot of those at my theater. That's when we get the mainstream stuff, is when we show it for advanced screenings. And so we did Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters. And, you know, there were like 20, 30 people like really excited to see Ghostbusters. But otherwise, it was like this crowd of people who I recognize now because I've worked a few of these events. And they seem to make getting free shit their entire life. Like, free movies is one thing, but you have to imagine, just by the way that these people behave, that they're just, like, finding, like, free meals also, and, like, maybe, not a free place to sleep. But that's the thing, is, like, these people clearly have the money when they need it, you know, they just don't want to spend it, because they'll come in and expect, like, free candy and shit, too, and they're like, ugh, I guess I'll pay, and not tip at all and everything, and not that tips are expected at a movie theater, but it helps me out a little bit. But anyway, it's just so fascinating to see people who like have their whole routine down, and they just like, all right, I have my alerts for all the free advanced screenings. I show up like 4 hours early. That's the thing. People show up so fucking early, as if, you know, Led Zeppelin was playing. Led Zeppelin tickets going on sale. I'm making references like fucking 30 years before I was born, but people are lining up around the block for this shit, for a free screening. And the Ghostbusters one, you know, you have people specifically there for it, but then the other two that I've done recently, it was like Arthur the King, that Mark Wahlberg dog movie, and then this like Hulu miniseries did an episode, like a screening of an episode for reactions and word of mouth stuff. And there's also like influencer screenings, which I cannot wait to work one of those. But so I've seen the same people at all three of these, right? And seemingly that's all they care about, is just like sitting in a room where something's playing on screen for free. And yesterday, I guess, who is it that produces Ghostbusters? Universal? Yeah. Universal, like, is, you know, they got more money than the people who did Arthur the King. So they bought out, like, the theater and, like, you know, snacks and popcorns and drinks for everyone. So everyone's just coming through with their free vouchers. And boy, I tell you, not only did it smell crazy in there, it was, like, every theater I've cleaned in the last 3 months combined did not even, you know, touch that. Like, that was insane. And I don't know about you guys, like, did you guys grow up just, you know, bringing your trash out of the theater with you? Because I did, but that's fine. Like, if your parents didn't tell you to do that, like, I get it, you know, raised wrong or whatever, but like, you gotta start doing that at a certain point, right? I don't know. I'm, you know, working a job that 16-year-olds and people on disability often work, so I shouldn't complain too much. It's pretty fucking easy. That's the thing. It's like, it's degrading, but once I accepted the degradation, I was like, it's also fucking easy, you know? Because I've done it before, and I've done other, like, busboy jobs and other shit I could have done when I was 16, and did when I was 16, you know? Same jobs I've had coming back 15 years later. That's shameful. But then when you accept how fucking easy it is in the free movies and the fact that I just get to, like, observe people's behavior coming out of movies, it kind of makes it worth it. $12.50 an hour? No. Actually, no, it does not make it worth it. Anyway, that's going to do it for this monologue. I don't know if this is episode 267, 268, part of one of those, but as always, and this is my new catchphrase, I hope you're having a great day. That was a little jab at the Thinking Basketball podcast, too. That dude, man, talk about a robot. Yeah, no, that's actually going to do it, though. Bye, guys.